Before you sit down, brothers and sisters, let me bless you with two verses from the scriptures. Let's read Hebrews 3, verse 1. It says, "Therefore, holy brothers and sisters who share in the heavenly calling, fix your thoughts on Jesus, whom we acknowledge as our apostle and high priest." Hebrews 12, verse 2. "Fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God." Amen. You may be seated. May God bless the choir. What a beautiful song. May God bless all of us through this word this morning, just as he did during our time of worship through singing and prayer. Amen. The verses that I just read, they are very similar. In both verses, we see the invitation that we get to look to Jesus. I hope that even though we would not read those verses, this is the reason why we come here to the house of God, right? We come here to meet with him, to look at him, and to hear his voice. But what really caught my attention is that in these two verses, we find two phrases that underline the importance and the way we should look at Jesus. Listen to Hebrews 3, verse 1. Here it says, "Fix your thoughts on Jesus." Hebrews 12, 2, it says, "Fix your eyes on Jesus." And then in verse 3, it continues, "Consider him." So for me, as I was reading these verses, it was like an alarm signal. As I was reading these verses, it was like I heard a voice in my head. It says, "Emmanuel, be careful how you look to Jesus. You cannot look at him like an ordinary man, like to an object. For sure, you cannot look to him superficially. So be careful how you look to Jesus. Be careful why you look to Jesus, with what purpose you look to Jesus." So that's why I want to entitle this message this morning, "Fix Your Eyes on Jesus, Lessons from His Life." And I want to invite you all this morning, let's look to Jesus, let's look at his life, and let's learn from him. Because in every stage of our life, there are moments when we feel the need to learn something, when we long for clarity, for direction, for wisdom. And in those moments, we often look to someone who has already gone through that thing, right? So for example, if you want to be very skilled at something, you are searching for a master. A young musician, for example, he studies a great composer. An apprentice, he's watching the hands of a craftsman. A little child, most likely he's watching their parents. And why is that? Because we instinctively understand that the best way to grow is to learn from someone who lives it. And it is exactly the same with our spiritual life. So if we want to learn how to walk in obedience, if we want to grow in patience, if we want to deepen our life of prayer, then I'm telling you what, then there is no greater example than our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Because Jesus, he's not only the one who saved us. He's not only our Redeemer. He's also our best example. He's the one who shows us how we should live every single day of our life. And even he himself, he makes us this invitation in Matthew 11, 29. He says here, "Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart." And then Solomon, he says in Proverbs 24, 32, "I applied my heart to what I observed and learned a lesson from what I saw." And that's what we want to do this morning. We want to look very carefully at the life of Jesus. We will pay close attention to it, and then we will draw a lesson from what we see in him. Amen? So let's start with the first point. And the first thing that really fascinates me about Jesus is his submission to the will of God. And at this point, I want to emphasize the importance of submission and obedience. Two words that a lot of people in these days do not know or pretend they do not know it. I mean, just imagine, just the word submission or just the word obedience makes already very many people feel uncomfortable. It makes them feel maybe weak. It makes them feel like they have to give up control, because that's how the people in these days are. We live in a generation that values independence, self-expression. I want to do it how I feel it's the best. It's my way or no way, right? But at the moment when you have the power to look away from you and to fix your eyes on Jesus, then you see in his life something radically different. And submission is hard. It's very hard. But without it, there would be just chaos and anarchy. This is why when we look at Jesus and when we look closely at his life, we can observe, but we can also learn from him about submission. Jesus, the Son of God, he has all the power, all the glory, and he chose to submit. Mark 14:36, here we see how Jesus speaks to his Father. He says, "Abba, Father," he said, "everything is possible for you. Take this cup from me. Yet not what I will, but what you will." So here we see how hard it is for Jesus to see what's about to happen. But then, look, we also see that he proves that he is ready to submit to the will of God. In other words, he says here, "Father, do not consider what I want, but I want you to let you know that I take into account what you want." Hebrews 10, verse 7, verse 9, verse 10, and almost the entire chapter, we see here the heart of Jesus, how he submits to the will of God. Verse 7 says, "Here I am. I have come to you to do your will." Verse 9, exactly the same. "Here I am. I have come to you to do your will." Philippians 2:8, "And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross." Brothers and sisters, if we do not learn this lesson from Jesus this morning, to be like him, to submit like him, then I'm telling you that I really have doubts that we will ever reach where he has reached, to the right hand of God in heaven. And that's why the Lord calls us this morning to look at his life and to learn from him, to submit and to be humble, exactly like he was. Amen? Listen what Peter says on that topic. 1 Peter 5:5-6. "In the same way, you who are younger, submit yourselves to your elders. All of you, clothe yourself with humility toward one another, because God opposes the proud, but shows favor to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that he may lift you up in due time." Those who elevate themselves, those who are proud, they will fall sooner or later. Jesus will humble themselves, will humble them and humiliate them. But those who choose to humble themselves and fix their eyes on Jesus and to submit to the will of God, exactly like Jesus did, well, the good news is here, that God has his own time. And when the time is here, God will elevate absolutely everyone who humbled themselves, just as he elevated his son to the throne. And I conclude this point here by reading you one more verse, James 4, verse 7. It says, submit yourselves then to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. God, help us all to submit to you. Help us all to become more and more like Jesus. Amen? Then the second lesson that we can learn as we fix our eyes on Jesus is we can learn a lot about his patience. That's a big point, to learn about patience. Let's reread verse 2 from Hebrews 12. Here it says, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame. For the joy set before him. What was the joy that was set before him? It was us. It was the generations before us. Thousands and thousands of generations of people who were to be saved through his suffering, through his death. People to become his people. And out of that joy that he had for us, he endured, he suffered the cross, and he despised the shame. And there are a lot of psalms that describes Jesus in that way. Psalm 103, verse 8, it says, the Lord is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in love. Isaiah, Jonah, Nahum, all of them say, the Lord is slow to anger. I mean, at least Isaiah in chapter 53, verse 7. This verse, I don't think you'll find another verse that describes even better this patience that Jesus has. He was oppressed and afflicted, yet he did not open his mouth. He was led like a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before its shears is silent, so he did not open his mouth. So today's message is about fixing our eyes to Jesus and learning from him. Do we have to learn something about this topic, about patience? Or do you think we master it already? What is it what we lose the fastest in our families, in society, among people, even among us brothers and sisters? Isn't it patience? But God calls us this morning to look at his son and to learn from him what patience is. James, Jesus' brother, says in chapter 5, verse 7 and 8, be patient, then, brothers and sisters, until the Lord's coming. See how the farmer waits for the land to yield this valuable crop, patiently waiting for the autumn and spring rains. You too, be patient and stand firm, because the Lord's coming is near. Let's read also verse 11. As you know, we count as blessed those who have persevered. You have heard of Job's perseverance and have seen what the Lord finally brought about. The Lord is full of compassion and mercy. How much do you think our loved ones at home want us or wish from us to be patient with them? Now, my wife had to stay at home with Sarah because she doesn't feel well. That's why I can ask you this. How much do you think our wives, our husbands want us to be more patient with them? Just ask them today while we are sitting with them at the lunch table. Ask your wife, ask your husband, ask your kids, and believe me, they will tell you exactly how much they wish from you to be even more patient. So if our families want us to be patient, how much more do you think God wants us to be patient with each other here at church? So everybody wants us to be patient, so much patient, but where can we get it from? Because for sure you cannot buy it at a pharmacy. You cannot take it as a supplement. Apostle Paul, what is he saying? Patient, you get it from the Holy Spirit. Galatians 5:22, it's listed there as a fruit that the Holy Spirit produces: love, joy, peace, and patience. So patience has to be a quality of a child of God, because without it, we cannot resemble Jesus if we are not patient like Jesus. So if you feel that you are not patient, that you have absolutely no patience anymore, here is what you have to do. Get on your knees and pray and ask the Holy Spirit to give you patience. And when this one ends too, get on your knees and pray to get patient endurance. And you can read about it in Revelation 14:12. But Luke 21:19, here we read, and it's very important to know that by your endurance, you will gain your lives. Matthew 10:22, and you will be hated by all because of my name, but it is the one who has endured to the end who will be saved. So patience is the thing that makes us steadfast on the path. Patience makes us to never back down. Patience helps us to persevere. Patience makes us strong. Well, patience is the thing that makes us to resemble Jesus. So here I want to say, may God bless us, all of us, not with patience, but with a lot of patience. Amen? And then thirdly, and my last point is, when we look to Jesus, when we look when we fix our eyes on Jesus, we can learn also about his life of prayer. Let's read Hebrews 5:7. During the days of Jesus' life on earth, he offered up prayers and petitions with fervent cries and tears to the one who could save him from death. And he was heard because of his reverent submission. Mark 1:35. Very early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, and went off to a solitary place where he prays. Then we see Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane under the olive tree, praying alone. Then we see him with his disciples. What more can we say about chapter 17 of the Gospel of John? It's the entire chapter. It's the so-called high priestly prayer of Jesus Christ. So again, we look at Jesus, we look at his life, and we also see this very important aspect of his life, prayer. So what do you think? If Jesus, who is the Son of God, if he spent time in prayer, how much more do you think we have to devote our life to prayer? Because, brothers and sisters, I believe that the first two things that I was talking about this morning, submission and patience, we can get it only if we go on our knees and pray for it. That's why I wish from the bottom of my heart that God ignites in us and here in our midst a spirit of prayer, to put a fire of prayer between us. Amen? And also I pray that may he improve the content of our prayers, because sometimes it seems like we always just repeat words. And do you know that it's absolutely no shame to come before the Lord and ask him, Lord, teach me how to pray. I mean, just listen to his disciples. Luke 11:1. One day Jesus was praying in a certain place. When he finished, one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray, just as John taught his disciples. Brothers and sisters, it's the same Lord. He never changed. He is the same. So how about we go before him and we ask him, Lord, teach us how to pray, just like as you taught generations before us. Because, brothers and sisters, prayer is the key to success. Prayer is the key to a life of victory. Prayer opens the door to a life of power, of victory. Apostle Paul, he says in 1 Thessalonians 5:17, it's a very short verse, just two words, but he says here, pray continually, pray continually. And I want to end this message here tonight reading one more verse. Peter, who a lot of time he was right next to Jesus as he was praying, and he says in 1 Peter 4:7, the end of all things is near. Therefore, be alert and of sober mind so that you may pray. And indeed, brothers and sisters, the end of all things is very near. So let's be wise this morning, and let's understand that we will face these things, or the end of all things, we will face them much more easily if we are on our knees praying. So if we look this morning to Jesus, and if we saw at him that he submitted himself to the will of God, that means that God wants exactly the same from us. If we look to Jesus this morning and we saw that he's very patient, God wants us to be exactly like Jesus. So he wants us to be patient people. And both of these things, brothers and sisters, we can get if we go on our knees and if we pray for that, just as Jesus did. Amen? So I say here, may God bless us all with such a spiritual state. Amen? God bless you.